When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, Paul had never been to Rome. The church was founding itself there in this capital of the empire. And so there were Jews who were Christians, and there were Gentiles, or we might call them pagans, who had worshipped all those Roman gods, who were becoming Christians and following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can tell by Paul's letter that the community was having some difficulty becoming one body, becoming unified. And there was probably some argument about why all of this Old Testament scripture was necessary. If you had received the Holy Spirit, you'd been baptized, and you were a follower of Jesus Christ, why did you need all of that stuff? And the Jews who were now Christian were thinking, well, why are you still uncircumcised? Why do you not know the history? Why do you not know that Jesus Christ himself was a Jew? So it seems that they were struggling with how to be the body of Christ, how to be disciples of Jesus Christ there in Rome. So Paul writes this long letter. If you read all of Romans, it's a beautiful, complicated letter. But he's fleshing out for these people he's never met, never preached, never been their teacher. He's fleshing out what it means to be a Christian and who he is as an apostle and disciple of Christ. So in the midst of this, he shares what we heard this morning, that this Old Testament that we call it, Hebrew Scriptures that others call it, it was created so that we could know the story of hope that began at the moment of creation, that began the moment God spoke and the world came into being. God had hope for the world. He had hope that we would all live forever in the Garden of Eden. And even after he kicked Adam and Eve out, he still had hope. He still had hope that God's people would return to him. And so we have the long history of the Israel people, of the Israel, Hebrew people, excuse me, of the Hebrew people as they struggle trying to follow this God and yet being pulled apart by the world. But God continued to have hope in these people and would send them prophets and would send them signs and signals that God still cared and God still wanted them in a relationship with him. So the prophets foretold things, Isaiah particularly, about the shoot of Jesse, that this trail of the Abraham line would come into the future and into the kingdom future of the world, that hope would be a line, a beacon line, almost a laser sharp beacon line of God's love for God's people. So that it's important for them as a people to know the story. And that God had steadfast love and encouragement each and every step along the way. And Paul writes to the people of Rome and writes to us and asks us to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. One voice. God wanted all people, Gentile, Jews. It did not matter. If you were created by God, you were part of God's kingdom. And God wanted the people to know that. God sent Paul to tell the people of Rome that they could have hope in the future because God saw them as people worthy of God. And then he invites them to welcome one another as Christ Jesus has welcomed you. Welcome one another. So we get again that feeling that maybe they weren't as welcoming as they should be to some in their midst. That maybe they had to remember what it was like when Christ welcomed you into his life. Remember what it felt like to have hope again. Have you ever been in that place where you didn't have hope? Have you ever been in that darkness where you wondered where the next day would even come? And then Christ came into your life, and that light began to flicker, and maybe became a small flame, and then maybe became this smoldering fire, until suddenly that love and that hope took the darkness away from your life. That Christ welcomed you just as you are now and said, I have this hope in you, that this day and the next day I'll see you, so that one day I will see you in glory. So my question this morning is, what does hope look like? Paul describes it to the people of Rome, but for us today, what does hope look like? How many of you make plans? How many of you have calendars, and forward in the future, you actually have dates and events scheduled on those calendars? Well, isn't that hope? Isn't that hope? That you've made plans for your future, so you hope that that day will come. I have this hope that I'm going to be here. Otherwise, why do we need to plan? If we don't believe that the next day is coming, if we don't have hope that we will be awake in the next morning. Every moment that we think about our future is a moment of hope. Sometimes it might not look that way, because sometimes we might be thinking of our future without someone, or our future that doesn't have a pretty ending. But isn't there hope in the fact that that one that we love knows our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I was at a celebration for Alva Stone yesterday, and we had hope. We had hope because we know that when our time comes, we will meet Alba in the future, heaven. What does hope look like? Doesn't hope look like an engagement party that we had yesterday here in the fellowship hall? Why would we marry if we didn't have hope for a future in the world? What about a baby shower? Doesn't a baby shower speak of hope for a future? I remember very distinctly my father, when he was being some of his wise fatherly moments, you know, those wise fatherly moments you have when you're a somewhat older person, you actually listen to them. You don't just tune them out because dad's got that dad tone. He talked about his grandchildren, and he said, you know, when I raised you five children, I had hope for your futures. But I look at my grandchildren and I can't imagine their future. He didn't have a whole lot of hope for where their futures might be. But consider with me that if when we make the decision to be a parent, don't we have hope? Don't we have hope that that child will live a life well and full and be who God creates them to be? So what does hope look like? Doesn't hope look like gathering to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to believe in the hope of the Lord that his kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven? That God's promise to save the world is a promise that we can bet on. It's a promise that is filled with the hope of God and the love of God for a world that wants to forsake him. God has hope. Why don't we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.